Welcome to And Now We Talk Radio Show. There is no topic we will not talk about, no interview we will not dive into, and no secret we will not unveil. Join your hosts, Hannah Shears and Marlene Chapman, as they use their gifts of insight to talk about what is really going on under the surface of our lives, relationships, and world events. Guaranteed you will never view the world the same way again. Join in on the conversation by calling 1-877-230-3062. And now, here are your hosts, Hannah and Marlene.
Welcome, everybody, to And Now We Talk with Hannah Shears and Marlene Chapman. Today's word of the day, everybody, is focus.
Focus.
We're having a hard time focusing. It's only because we're so excited, because we will have a very special guest with us on the show today talking about body signs. So if you have illnesses, diseases, injuries, trouble in relationships, it doesn't matter. She will tell you what it means. She has over 17 books published. She is a huge French-Canadian author on this subject and all around the world. Actually, I was just reading that it's taught in 22 countries in 10 different languages. Her name is Lise Bourbeau. I hope I didn't butcher her name, but we'll find out later when she's on. One of the books that I have in my hand that is awesome is Your Body's Telling You, Love Yourself. So we have a great person on the line waiting to talk to us. We want to welcome Lise Bourbeau on the phone. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm very happy to be there with you. You seem to be having a good time there.
We always have a good time.
Oh, yeah, this is good. I like people who know how to laugh.
Yeah, you'll have a lot of that.
That keeps you younger.
Yeah, we love to laugh. And so did I totally butcher your name, Lise?
You said it okay.
I was trying to bring, I went to French immersion, but it was so long ago, and I just, my poor French teachers are going to be highly disappointed in me.
Oh, well, it's not an easy language to learn.
Yeah, it took a long time. So we have this wonderful book in front of us that we've been kind of going through, which one of your many books, right? You've written well over 17 books.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, we 19. Have Your Body's Telling You, Love Yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the one on all the different aches and pains and diseases.
Yeah, and I'm telling everybody that it has everything. And what I love about this book, Lise, is that you talk about the physical block, the emotional block, and the mental block, really showing the mind-body-spirit aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lise, it's incredibly in-depth. Like, I looked up a few things, just little issues that I was dealing with, and small issues, and I could not believe how to the point. I have never seen another book like this with this kind of detail, and it is detailed. And
yeah, well, thank you.
I mean, this must have taken a long time to research, right?
Yes, it does. I've been researching for a long, long time. I started to become aware of these things about 1980, so that's 28 years ago.
Wow.
And you can imagine in those days that they thought I was a little cuckoo, She says that, we create our own disease. It doesn't make sense. But not too many people were talking about that then. But I was very interested because of what happened to me. So I saw that some of my aches and pains disappeared, and I knew that I had been changing my way of thinking before that. So I knew there was a relationship. So I started to really research, and there was too many things then. And then about the year after, somebody gave me a bunch of papers stapled together coming from Louise Hay.
Wow.
And she hadn't even written a book yet, but it was just like a 8.5 by 11, papers stapled together. And she said, stomach problem, it was three columns. And the second column would say, somebody that you cannot digest. And then the third column would say, give you an affirmation to repeat many, many times a day. Because, the positive thinking is very strong in the States in those days. So I said, oh, my God, somebody that thinks like me. And I knew it. So I was so happy that she really gave me the incentive to continue my research in that. And I kept asking everybody I knew, are you sore anywhere? And, I was trying to guess, what it would mean. And over the years, I've simplified my methods, and I went deeper and deeper, and this is what really nourishes me the most, is to find new things and to research and to discover every year how intelligent the human creation is. I mean, I'm so amazed at the intelligence of the human body and the human being also. It's the more I learn and the more I'm in awe of this creation, you know.
Well, that's I think it's a pretty big statement to say back then, but also now to say, okay, we create this disease. So do you want to kind of dive into that a little bit deeper for people that may be unfamiliar with that?
Well, what we can say is that we cannot dissociate the physical, the emotional, and the mental bodies. We know now that the most scientific people, they work more with the physical body. But we're made of those three bodies, and one affects the other. And the physical body is the more conscious one, the most tangible one. So that's why the physical is there to attract our attention to something that's going on in the other two dimensions, you know, emotional or mental, that we are not aware of. And so this is why the physical is so useful to be, this is why I call my teaching, listen to your body. It's very useful to attract our attention because it's so easy to just pretend that we don't have a problem or something or someone doesn't bother us. So now I figure that the degree of the hurt or the damage the physical pain is doing to you is the equivalent to the degree of damage that the belief, the mental belief that you have behind that is doing to you. So the more, you know, serious the disease, the more the message is, much more strong, because it's telling you, it's urgent now. Look at how you're hurting yourself with your way of thinking. So it's like I call it my God self attracting my attention with the disease. It's not, I'm not being punished by God. I'm being held by this God, my inner God, to attract my attention, to change my way of thinking.
Oh, that's awesome.
Lisa, in your experience, have you ever found anyone who has cured themselves of diseases that are apparently have no cure? Have you ever seen that in your research?
Oh, well, imagine if for 26 years I've been teaching that, so we have thousands and thousands of people who have healed themselves. But many times we hear about it afterwards, or so those people, they write to us, and we have big files of, you know, people telling us, you know, they cured themselves of this and that. And some of those things are pretty serious, you know, like mental disease or cancer or things that was supposed not to be curable. But we can never tell that you will cure yourself, because we're not there to cure people. We are there to help them become conscious of their ways of thinking. Now, it all depends on what they do with that. We're not healers. We are teachers. You know, it's a school that I have. I teach people how to become conscious and how to use their aches and pains to discover things about themselves. But we never know what's going to happen after. Are they going to cure themselves or not? So we're happy when it happens, but we can never be sure.
Yeah, so you're saying that, you know, obviously you're not there to cure people, but you have seen it happen.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yes. Well, myself and the people working with me, we have these little mini miracles all the time.
Oh,
yes. It's so, because, you know, when you become more aware, you don't wait until it's very serious to look after that. You know, I remember for a long time I had backaches for 15 years. Before I started that, and I used to change my mattress every 2 years, and nothing worked, you know. And now that's been more than 20 years that I never have a backache, and I have much more on my back than I've ever had before. But your attitude on what you do with the things that you put on your back, you know. But if I just start to have a little pain in my back, I say, uh-oh, I'm getting a message. So I look at it right away, so that it's not hard to let it to make it go, because I can understand right away what the message is.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. It's like those little pebbles. Once you understand this stuff, and when you have the smaller issues, you can deal with it on that level and a quicker level, right?
That's right, because we have seen some very serious problems being cured very fast. But some others have taken maybe a few years to go. You know, it goes, comes back, it goes, it comes back. And every time it comes back, it's a little less hard, less serious. But this is why it always depends on how the person works with what she has become, what they have become conscious of. It's so profound, you know, what you have to touch. And it all comes to love oneself. That's why I call my book Love Yourself. It depends if they have caught on the idea, what does it mean to love yourself? And because the more problems we have, the less we love ourselves.
Yep.
This is what it means.
Exactly. Well, you're listening to Lise Bourbeau, and you are, well, you can see everything that Lise has to offer at listentoyourbody.net. We're just going to break off into commercial break, but we'll be right back because she has a great, lots of training going on, and one for the first time in Edmonton. So if you want to check out Lise or even give us a call if you have any kind of illnesses and disease or anything you want to discuss at 1-877-230-3062. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to And Now We Talk, and we are talking to someone very special. I'm very on fire because if people know me, they obviously know I'm big on body signs and everything that it has to mean. And so I'm very excited that, number one, Lise, you are Canadian. And,
yes.
And we're very happy to have a Canadian on our show that has so much information. You have a Listen to Your Body school, right? And
that's right.
And, wow, it's been there since the 80s?
Yes, I started this school 26 years ago, and now we're teaching in 23 countries.
Wow.
My books are translated in about 20 languages, and we go all over. And it's so beautiful to see that there are people in, you know, like Japanese people, Russian people, everywhere. They all want to get better. They're all trying to find what, you know, what they could change inside of them. And I feel so good to see that there are so many people now that want to do this type of research on themselves, you know.
Well, what is it like? Is there like a process that they have to go through? You know, like we know from certain other books that are out there, it's like affirmations or it's this. Is there like kind of a technique that you've developed, or is half the problem just realizing what it means?
Yeah, it's all techniques that I have developed. And because I'm my specialty is to simplify things, because I have, you know, I've been doing some work on myself like that, going to workshops for over 40 years. And many times it was so complicated, and I don't like complicated things. And I was very happy to discover one day that simplicity is a sign of intelligence. So I was happy.
I'm
going to
write that down.
The more you try to simplify your life, the more intelligent you become, you know. So these are all techniques that we are teaching, and always with questions. We want people to learn what questions to ask themselves so they can find their answers. We never, never give the answers to anyone. We teach the questions to ask, and because I think it's very important that it should come inside of them, you know. So this is what we do in our first workshop. We help people to understand how the ego, our ego that's stopping us from loving ourselves, how does it work, and how do we create, and how do we get it bigger. So we explain all that. We explain what it means to love ourselves, real unconditional love. Then after that, we teach people how to become conscious of their beliefs that they're carrying with them since maybe, you know, before they were born, and they don't know that they have these beliefs stopping them from having a better quality of life.
Mm.
So it's mostly all methods to help people become more conscious, and then they can go home and continue to use these methods on themselves. They can do it with other people if they want to. In my teaching, we offer people, they can use anything that they learn in our workshop. They can use it if they are a therapist, if they want to help other people. I mean, they can use it any way they want if it helps people.
That's great, and it is coming to Edmonton and across Canada. We also have listeners in the U.S., so you just want to go to listentoyourbody.net to check out all the workshops. Plus, you have a lot of free resources online that I always love, that when people have that kind of stuff up. So So definitely go to listentoyourbody.net, order the books, whatever you need, and go to the workshop if you're in Edmonton, April 4th and the 5th. It's going to be a great workshop. I highly endorse it. I mean, rarely do. If you knew me and Marlene, we don't go to a lot of workshops. I mean, we're in this industry and we teach a lot. But after reading your book and all of that, I would highly endorse going to your workshop.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's nice of you.
Yeah, it's just awesome. You'll probably see us there anyway. I think we have a couple callers, which we will get to in just a minute. But I think where a lot of women, I think, struggle is the selfish versus self-love. You know what I'm talking about?
That's right. Yeah, we talk about that all the time. Because, you know, when we talk about loving ourselves, most people, they say, yeah, but if I think of me first before other people, I'm going to be selfish.
Yeah.
So the definition of the word selfish has been really, you know, all over the world, I think, has been the wrong one. I don't know why. It must be because of our religious upbringing that we're supposed to think of other people all the time. But, you know, how can we know what other people need? So all the time we're using the trying to please other people, well, during that time we're not doing it for ourselves. So people, they get it mixed up between pleasing somebody or loving, and they get mixed up between love and selfishness. To be selfish, the real definition of selfishness is to take something from somebody else for, you know, so that it pleases you. You take it from someone else. So you see that the movement is, I take from someone else and I want it for me. Like, I want my husband to do that for me. So that's being selfish. But people think that if I don't do something for someone else, I'm being selfish. That has nothing to do. Nobody has to do something for somebody else. You see, it's not doing for somebody else. If your husband says, I want you to stay home tonight. I don't want you to go out with your girlfriend. He's being selfish. He's stopping you from, you know, doing what pleases you.
Mm-hmm.
But if she says, no, I've decided I'm going out with my girlfriend tonight, and he says, oh, you're so selfish, you're not thinking of me. But actually, she's not the one listening to her own needs who is selfish. It's the person wanting other people to listen to their own needs. And this is the very big difference between loving oneself is, I take care of my own needs. This way, I don't have to always be waiting for other people to guess what my needs would be, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it's so important. Like, how can we start listening to our body then? What's your biggest advice in those terms?
Well, it's just be more aware of what do I feel like doing, or what do I feel like being today, you know, just because people don't even stop to ask themselves that question. What me, I use the wow, you know. What does wow inside, you know, like I think of different things, and if this is really wow, that means this is what's good for me. Now, if somebody else doesn't agree with that, it's okay. Other people don't have to agree with what I, you know, that today this is what my need is. And it doesn't mean that you never, you know, you go overboard and you never do anything for someone else. It could be like maybe, like, let's say the example I gave before, maybe a woman, she had decided to go out with her girlfriend one evening and the husband says that he wants her to stay home. Well, she might decide that she wants to stay home because she might feel that her husband really needs her that evening. If she decides because she feels like it and she agrees to it and she's really happy to do it for him, now this is perfect. But if she says, oh, God, okay, I'll stay home with you, you know, she's doing it, but she doesn't want to do it. She's doing it because she's afraid not to be loved. She's doing it out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And if she does it out of fear, she's not loving herself, and the problem will come. After that, is she will expect her husband to do the same for her one day.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's good advice in terms of, like, just checking in with yourself, right?
That's
checking
right.
In and
just say, well, this is what I need, and this is what you need. Now, how if the both needs really don't coincide, well, what can we do tonight to make it so that we're both happy, you know? Like, there's always a way to use so that we can come to an agreement if between a couple, let's say, who don't have the same needs at the same time. But this happens all the time, that we don't have the same needs at the same time. It's important to learn how to handle that, because otherwise people become so frustrated because, you know, well, he wins more often than I do, and it's not fair. And, you know, this goes on and on. And
yeah, and if we don't deal with those needs, this is how we create the disease, and we create those types of things in our body because we're not loving ourselves and we're not taking care of ourselves.
So you can't pretend, I guess.
You can't pretend when you have body signs, in my opinion.
And the body is so intelligent that it affects the part of the body that is not properly used. Like if I can't ask somebody else, and I'm afraid, you know, to say what I have to say or to demand something, well, then the sign I will be getting will be affecting my throat, my voice. I might have a laryngitis. And this is why it's so interesting to see that it's always part of the body that would be used to listen to your needs. This is what is affected.
Exactly. Well, we're going to check in with our callers because we have a couple callers waiting to speak with you. And we'll go straight to the phones. Christine, we'll go to Christine first. Christine, welcome to And Now We Talk.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Good. And do you have a question for Lise?
Yes. I've been trying to control my high blood pressure, and I have no clue how. So I hear you guys saying cure your body.
And do you know what causes pressure in your life? What do you worry about?
This has been going on for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Do you worry about someone?
Oh, well, I'm a big worrywart, yeah.
Yeah? You worry
about,
you know, a child or a husband, or you're creating, you know, you build up the pressure about someone?
I would say it's probably my husband. More than my husband, it's probably my whole family.
Yes. Well, you're probably the type of person that you want everybody to be so happy, huh?
Yes, I am.
You'd like to do everything in the world so that for them to be happy, and if they're not happy, then you cannot be happy yourself. And
that's right.
So it's, you know, the first thing that you have to do is just be aware that while you're worrying for the other person, you're not, you know, helping yourself. You're not listening to your own needs. So when you have a physical problem, it's attracting your attention to a need. So you discover your need that you should look after yourself more. But the second thing that it's telling you is that you are not accepting that fact, the fact that you worry for the others. There's a little voice inside of you probably that says, when are you going to stop worrying like that? Gee, you're always worrying too much. Is that true?
That's true.
Yes. Well, you see, this is what causes the problem, because no matter what we do, whether it's positive or negative, we always have to accept it first, because loving is accepting. Loving is go with whatever we are. There's nothing ever bad about ourselves. We're just what we are every moment of the day. We are all human beings. And so you have to go through the process of saying, yes, that's true. I know I'm worrying a lot, and I would like them to be so happy, and I'm doing everything for them. That's the way I am now. But that's not what I want to continue being. I want to be able one day to be happy, even if they're not happy. But for now, I cannot do it. Just stay in touch with what you want to achieve one day, but allow yourself not to be that for now.
The high blood pressure does make sense now that you say it, because I do worry about everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought I was sometimes putting myself first, but I'm not. So that's interesting to know.
Well, yes. Christine, we really want to thank you for your call. We're going to have to cut off and go to commercial break. We do suggest that you check out her workshop, because you'll really learn the ways in which you can deal with this and look at the issues and heal yourself from it. And so thank you so much for your call. We're going to go straight to commercial break, but we'll be right back with Lise Boulbeau. And just check it out at listentoyourbody.net. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to And Now We Talk. We want you to go and check out Lee's at listentoyourbody.net. There's workshops in Edmonton, if you're in Edmonton, and you know, anywhere in the country and the world. Just go to listentoyourbody.net. You can click on workshops if you want to catch the one in Edmonton that's going on in the first weekend of April. All how to register is there, and all the online resources, including you kind of listed, I think, 20 definitions of illnesses and diseases on your website, too. So if you, we're going to go straight to the phones, Lise, and we'll take another caller. We have Jeannie on the phone. Welcome, Jeannie.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call.
Do you have a question?
I do. Lise, I was listening to you with the other caller, with Christine, and everything you said really, you know, resonated with me. And I believe that I have gone through kind of those stages and have gone through to the next stage of things, because I am a worrier and I do have a lot of body pain also. But I guess what I specifically wanted to ask you is I have a 17-year-old son. And right now in these last couple years, my focus is that I'm trying to get my 17-year-old son, who seems to get sick a lot, and I'm trying to, how can I help him if there is, I've done all the physical things that I can possibly do to get him better, but I certainly understand the emotional component to all of this. But how can I help a 17-year-old boy?
You and have how to do help I even son for in what? Like, what has I did not understand when you said I want to help my son in.
Yeah, well, what kind of sickness is he getting, Jeannie?
Well, he was originally diagnosed where he can't have gluten and dairy, and he's had like H. pylori. And because he was having a lot of different, like, stomach pains and feeling unwell. And then we went through, I've seen holistic practitioners, and I've been working through this for the last couple of years.
Okay, so we're pretty much dealing with stomach issues and allergies, right?
Okay. And how long has he been having physical problems?
A good 3 years.
3 years?
Yeah, and he's 17 now.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the first thing that you have to do when you want to help someone, especially someone close, is find out if they want to be helped. Does your son want to be helped?
Yes, he does.
He does?
Yes.
Okay. So when somebody wants to be helped, then we ask them, what kind of help do you want? Because sometimes they want physical help, sometimes they want psychological help. Did he tell you what kind of help he wants?
It's physical help, again, because I know there's always an emotional component to this. I do try to, you know, I mean, he is a boy and he's a quiet, but I do try in a non-aggressive way to see if anything's bothering him, because he seems to be pretty easygoing, but it just, you know, I've done everything that I can possibly do physically. So yeah. I'm thinking, well, is this an emotional thing?
Yeah, because, you know, it's not because somebody wants some help that we automatically are obliged to give it to the people, because sometimes we say to the person, what kind of help do you want? And they say, well, I want you to be with me every day of the, you know, of your life. But we can't do that. There are some things that we cannot do. You have to respect your own limits in that. So the way I hear, what I hear is that you seem to be getting to the end of your limits. You've done everything you can. So you just say that. You just share that with him. Say, look, I really want to help you, but right now I can't do anymore. I just don't know what to do anymore. So you're just going to have maybe to find somebody else or help yourself, or maybe just go with what's going and what's happening to you. Go with that for now, and maybe one day you will know what to do. But you have to, because if you make yourself sick over that, then there will be two sick people. It's not going to help him anymore, you know. I can understand a mother, you know, it's normal to want to help our children. But sometimes we want to have, and they get attention that way, and maybe they just the attention that they want. Maybe is he doing anything with the help you're giving him? Does he collaborate with your suggestions, or?
He does, but he's pretty much tired of everything that's been going on these last few years. You know, I have him take, you know, a lot of supplements and things and, you know, probiotics, and I work with a holistic doctor. But, you know, he's a 17-year-old boy, and he's pretty fed up. He's tired of doing all of these things.
What do allergies mean?
Well, it means that you're allergic to someone.
Okay.
Because, he suffers from a lot of allergies.
Well, I didn't specifically say allergies, but I did agree that could be a component. But, I mean, he has, you know, food intolerances, and I've never had him take any standard, you know, allergy tests where they, prick your skin.
Because usually, you know, you're allergic to someone. And it's funny because the people who are allergic to someone, it means that one part of them can stand that person, and the other part can do without. So they're always stuck between the two, you know. They want the attention of somebody, but at the same time, they don't want it. And he's 17 years old now. He's the children today, they're so bright, they're so intelligent. If you say to him, look, I've done everything I can, and now you'll have to find yourself a way, because if he wants to come to the workshop, in the workshop, he will discover a lot of things. There's a lot going on in those 2 days. And he'll find all the ways, the questions to ask himself to go to the root of the problem. Now, if he really wants to heal himself, if he's really sick and tired of it, he probably will decide to go. You know, but if he says, oh, no, I'm not interested, well, he doesn't really want to do something. That would be a good way to find does he really want to do something about it or not, or does he want somebody else to do it for him, you know?
Jeannie, I want to thank you so much for your call. If you're not in the area of doing a workshop, you could certainly pick up the books by just going to listentoyourbody.net. And
yeah,
all the information
is there. His son could read the book, too. He would learn a lot with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Well, that was great advice. I think it's so hard when you're looking at body signs because, number one, you can't really deny it because you're sick, right?
I know.
Right.
And really, my whole experience has been that when you're sick, you can't deny it, but it's also sometimes really emotionally hard to go, okay, there's something more wrong. Because I think so often when people are sick, they're like, oh, it's not your fault. This stuff just happens to you, right? Mm-hmm. So it takes off the responsibility of, well, you're just sick and you'll get over it. And when we attach that emotional and mental meaning, we're really opening people up on a deeper level, right?
Yeah. So people have to understand that when we talk about creating our own disease, it's not their fault. They should not feel guilty about that, because sometimes you say, well, gee, you know, it's not my fault. I didn't want to be sick. But they never say that it's their fault. It's the same as if you drive a car and there's a little red light that starts blinking that you need oil on your car. The red light that blinks is not a problem. It's just attracting your attention to a problem that's behind the light. Well, the disease is the same. It's just like now we see that children younger and younger have all kinds of problems that usually before would happen only to adults, because the evolution of the human being, everything is going faster. So the children that have the chance to learn about these things when they're young, like 17 years old, it's such a, you know, it's such a gift, huh?
Yeah, and I think it is about looking at that. I know that, you know, I was 25 when I had cancer, and it was really what opened me up to this type of information, right?
Yeah,
but it wasn't
about
guilt or blame. I actually really wanted to know, you know, this has to mean something other than just being sick.
Well, this is why you healed yourself.
Yeah.
Because you knew intuitively that there was something behind that, huh?
Yeah, there had to have been more behind it. And it's right. It's not about blame or anything. If anything, once you understand what the gift is and what you need to what you need to service.
Yeah, it's more of a cause and effect sort of thing then, yeah.
Yeah, and what you need to service, and you get that service, and then you're better, right? And you can and then you can listen to those signs when it's on a smaller scale. We only have a few minutes left in our show, and it's just flown by, but we have one more caller that we'll take, so we'll go straight to the lines. Jay, welcome to the show.
Yes, thanks so much for being part of your show. Quick question for you, Lise. Why do people mostly, they do not want to do the work? In terms of healing, they complain about the issues, but they don't want to do the work. And I just wondered if I can get your comment off the air. Thanks.
Well, there could be two things, because our ego is so powerful that ego doesn't want us to go and touch the right place, because when we become our own self, when we get back our own power, then the ego starts to disappear, and it's scared to disappear. And another reason could be that people don't want to dig too deep because they're afraid to hurt too much, because they're afraid that they won't be able to handle that when they touch the beliefs and the suffering that's behind the beliefs. So a lot of people don't want to, you know, you just ask them, how do you feel with this? And they can't answer. They don't want to feel. They don't want to know what they feel. See? So it's just new now. It's just in the last 20 years that we're starting to go deeper and deeper, you know, touching the more feminine part of us, you know.
I can really speak to the second part of what you were saying, because I remember it's how I met Marlene, is through my illness. And I remember her saying, well, just cry. You just need to open up and you need to cry, because I hadn't been open. And I remember saying to her, I don't want to cry because I don't know if I'll stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that fear of like, control. I'll be completely open and out of control. I don't know if I'd stop because it'd been so many years of being closed off. Mm. So I want to tell everybody that it's really not that bad. And you'll, I mean, you go through it, but you do stop crying.
Eventually.
Eventually. Yeah. And
touching that pain, it that's the beginning of the healing.
Mm-hmm.
By being able to look at the pain, because it's always related to something that happened when you were younger. So we're touching a pain that we held inside when we were younger, and it's what created the disease over the years. And it's okay. We can touch it. It hurts at the beginning, but after that, that's how we heal it after.
Yeah, and that's how we get healthy bodies.
That's right.
That's how we get healthier bodies. Well, Jay, thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, many blessings to both of you. I might see you at the workshop, so blessings to you, too. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank Beautiful.
You. Well, Lise, this is great. We just have the last couple minutes of our show. Do you have anything that you want to say to wrap up, any advice that you would want to leave our listeners with?
Well, I could tell people that if they wait for other people to change before their life will be nicer or more fun, they're going to wait an awful long time. So if they want their life, if they want to better the quality of their life, they have to start doing it themselves and look inside of them, because no matter what happens on the outside, it's always a reflection of what goes on inside. So if I criticize myself, other people criticize me. So if people change something inside, it starts to change everybody on the outside. It's happening by itself. So this is what I find so beautiful. Mm-hmm. We don't have to wait for somebody else. We can do the whole thing ourselves. It's a beautiful freedom.
And thus changing ourselves really does change the relationships of the people around us too, right?
Oh, definitely. I hear many times women who take the workshop and they say, I don't understand. I'm the one attending the workshop and it's my husband that's changing. And I say, no, your husband is not changing. You just look at him now with the eyes of your heart. You don't look at him the same way. So automatically he doesn't react to you the same way. This happens all the time to everyone. As soon as we change inside, there's a change on the outside.
That's beautiful. Well, that is great advice to wrap up the show, and it's certainly something that we truly believe. This whole show, you were listening to Lise Bourbeau. She is a wonderful French-Canadian. I just want to say I want to hug you, and I love your accent.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you very much. I'd like to hug you, too. We would have long talks if you lived a little closer, wouldn't we?
I'm coming. I've always wanted to be there. I haven't been there yet. I'll try and brush up on my French for you.
Well, if you ever come to Quebec, don't forget to come and see us and visit our center here in the Laurentians. We have a center in the mountains, and It's we have a nice place, and my daughter and me, because Monica, that you have organized this?
Yes.
Is my daughter.
Oh,
she's the one,
yeah,
that
she's wonderful.
Running all my business and doing a wonderful job at that, and her and her husband, so that I can travel all over while he does that.
That
so
is
we
wonderful.
Would be happy to welcome you in to our place.
Oh, that would be wonderful. We certainly are going to have to make a trip out there, and we suggest everybody check out the website, listentoyourbody.net. It's also obviously in French, too, and she has many books translated in many languages and in many countries, and so we really suggest that you pick up any of those books that speak to you or attend the workshop that is going to be happening in Edmonton from April 4th and 5th. Jocelyn is actually the contact in Edmonton, and you can find all of that information on the website. Thank you so much, Lise, for being on the show. It was a pleasure, and we hope to have you on again soon.
Okay, well, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
So you're listening to And Now We Talk with Hannah Shears and Marlene Chapman. That whole hour flew by. We didn't even get to our last part of the intuitive psychic segment, but that's okay because Lise was wonderful.
No, she was awesome.
Awesome, awesome. I just thought that she had so much great information, everything that we, you know, talk about and certainly believe. And I know from experience that when you do heal your body and look at your body signs, and I've had way too many body signs, that you can heal your life and all your relationships. So we'll be back next week, same time, same place. Take care. Go to andnow.ca, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to And Now We Talk radio show with your dynamic hosts, Hannah Shears and Marlene Chapman. Our show is your show, so get involved at andnow.ca. Stay tuned for the next amazing edition of And Now Radio Show, right here on ContactTalkRadio.com every Monday night at 7 o'clock Pacific Time.